Welcome, everyone. This is episode number 52 of the FIFA Ramble.
Yes.
We'd just like to say thank you to our sponsor.
Thank you.
Gary's Talking Cars.
I'm Paul, and I said to my friend, wouldn't it be great if your car could talk to you? You know, tell you what's wrong with it if it's broken. So I spent all my money on making this happen. I went broke. My wife left me. I had to borrow to have some mad time. But then Gary said, I could sell my car through him. Come on down to Gary's Car and upgrade your car so it can talk. It really, really works.
Gary's Talking Cars. Gary's Talking Cars. Gary's Talking Cars. Gary's Talking Cars. Make your car talk.
Welcome. This is number 52. Life on the road. This is the FIFA Ramble. We are rambling in somewhere, some room. I don't know where we are. We're just around. So we're just going to discuss a few things. Do you want to follow me, guys?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to follow in.
Go on.
Where Mitch, do we begin?
Mitch, I got a question for you.
Go on.
Have you ever heard of the League of Nations?
I have heard of the League.
What about the Nations League?
I've also heard of the Nations League.
Good,
and
both.
And I'll tell you what, it's a complicated format to get your head round, but I'm going to try and do it. I'll try
explain
and do it.
Explain it to me. Pretend that I know nothing.
I might end up rambling, but this is the FIFA Ramble. So I think there are essentially four different pots, A, B, C and D.
Yeah.
The best teams in Europe are in pot A and the lowest ranked are in pot D. And they're separated into different leagues within that. So in pot A, for example, you've got four different leagues, each with three teams. Now, the winners of each of those leagues will go through into a... They're going to explain it for me. The winners of each league are going to go through to a playoff to be the winner of the Nations League in pot A. Now, there are also going to be four bottom place teams. They will go down to pot B. And there'll be promotion and relegation. A, go for the competition, the whole Nations League, all the at rest, relegated if you're bottom. If you're top, you go forward to the next pot. Now, The other thing is it's a backdoor route into... This is nice, isn't it? The other thing is it's a backdoor route into the European Championships because those that haven't qualified through normal qualification, they will go into their own playoffs and you'll have a winner from A, B, C and D who will then potentially, or will if they win it, go through to the European Championship.
So will it only be clubs which are, not clubs, international size then, that are less inclined to qualify through qualification to get through?
So the idea is that that actually it will reduce meaningless friendlies, but also it gives people a chance who wouldn't normally qualify to go through. So if you take Pot D, for example, where you've got people like Macedonia and Malta, or teams like that, I don't know if it's Pot D, but those ones, those sort of teams, essentially, the winners of those, of each of the four groups in Pot D, go into a playoff, and providing they haven't qualified through the normal route, the winner of that, so you could, for example, get something like Luxembourg v Macedonia for a place in the European Championships.
That would be incredible.
So it will. It's changing things up.
It's a level playing field.
It is different.
Yeah, it is different. So you know, make
it's
of it
nice
what
for
you
teams
will.
Like Moldova and things like that. You know, it's Luxembourg.
It is, and also they're going to use it in future to determine the different groups and the rankings. So you know, you're going to be relegated and promoted into different pots, and that will affect where you are basically in future qualification as well. So it's all changed. That's as best I can do to describe it, but there are little diagrams.
I think you explained that very well.
Yeah, it was really, what I like about it as well is you've got teams playing, you won't have a throwaway game like England versus Luxembourg or whatever.
Exactly.
You get England versus someone who is level with them or nearer them.
Do you think
there's no more 8-0s in Andorra.
Yeah? Exactly.
So it's the nearest we've come to like an actual fair unjust system, you think?
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's two different ways to look at it. One is you could say it gives people more of a chance. Or from another point of view, you could say, actually, is it fair? Because you've got Pot D teams playing against each other and they're not playing as harder teams, and then suddenly they've got a chance to make in. But it does dangle a carrot for those that normally aren't going to make it. So, you know, it will reduce meaningless friendlies, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
What that does to in terms of the quality of teams in tournaments, that might be another thing altogether. So, Nations League.
The League of Nations?
Who do you think had the best performance then out of all of them?
It was Spain, obviously. Obviously it was Spain.
It's a miracle what happens when the best defender in the world doesn't play for Croatia. You know?
It's a bold statement, isn't it?
Well, that's what he said. He said he's one of the best defenders in the world. Arguably the best.
By his own admission, he is.
New look Spain. They did well. They did very well.
Anyone stand up? It's a new wave of Sencio. Spanish players coming
through. Yeah, it is. It's
old out, new in.
Yeah, well, it's gonna. They're just regenerating, isn't it?
You know, it's like Doctor Who.
Yeah,
exactly like Doctor Who.
This is, you know, but it depends on: is this the Tennant years of Spain, or is this the Capaldi years of Spain? Who knows?
Nicely put. Knows? The thing is with Spain, I think that it just shows, like that game, that if they click, there's no one who can handle them.
No.
And you've just got to pray that if you're the other teams, that is, that when a tournament cycle comes around, that they're in that little period where they have a little dip every now and then, like they do, which sometimes happens. But if they click, people can't live with them.
How the hell did they wreck Croatia 6-0?
Yeah, Croatia just had a bit of one of those. I still stand by. I think Croatia massively overachieved at the World Cup.
Yeah,
I think it was just their time.
They have a very good squad. And they have very good central midfield partnership, which is not going to be around forever. That's and I think they massively overachieved.
Yeah.
And I think Spain had them on a good day.
I think Spain also performed very well, like you said. Asenio stepped up.
Yeah, Asenio was really good.
See his stats the last couple of games.
He's a beast.
He had one goal, three assists, 59 from 62 passes completed, six ball recoveries.
Yeah, he's superb. He's a superb
destroying it.
You know, he's it'll come around. Spain obviously were the side to be.
There's one plus, or like one thing.
They're still not as good as France.
Well, no, France. We'll get into France in a bit, because I've got a whole heap of stuff on France. Let me tell you. But Rakitic, 100th cap.
Yeah, it's nice.
He's come a long way since the Sevilla days, before Barcelona, like where he was a powerhouse for Sevilla, and now to be at that stage, him and Modric, a unit of midfield right there.
Good duo, aren't they?
They're
brilliant.
Each other well.
Wondrous duo. It's like a dream.
Is Cole Lucas still playing?
And yeah, with Krankjær.
Yeah.
With Nico.
How long until Redknapp comes in to manage him?
I would say. Well, what's Redknapp doing now?
Redknapp, not a lot. Sorting out his taxes, I imagine.
He's talking to people, talking to reporters through windows. Cars
any windows.
Car windows.
It doesn't even matter. It doesn't have to be the window anymore. Like through where someone lifts their bonnet and he's under there.
He's under there. He's ready to go.
I got a thought for you.
Go on.
We're moving to England. Why does Rashford perform for England better than he does in Manchester United?
He's played in position.
Is that the reason?
I think that might be it. I don't think Rashford's an inside forward sort of winger. I don't think he is. He can play there because he's a very talented footballer.
You're not going to displace Lukaku because he's an integral part of the Man United system.
Man United, he doesn't play as well because Man United have got Lukaku up front and they've got other players who can fit in and around that setup.
Yeah.
So there's no place for him. Just because of other people. Through nothing, you know, it's not his fault.
Yeah,
it's
I agree
he doesn't
with that.
Fit into the setup. That's all it is.
Think
the
that's
way
Martial's,
that
it's Martial's issue as well.
Yeah, probably. Martial, he doesn't fit in. That's the issue. It's not that they're not great players. It's the same as we said last week with Juventus. At the minute, they can't get Dybala in because the way that they're set up, they've got Cuadrado playing at right wing back.
And he's not at the peak,
Alexandro
is he?
At left back.
But that's Juventus' amazing squad, though. There's just no room, is there, unless you get injured. But if there's injured, there's like a 10, 10 places up.
But that's the thing. It's not that Dybala's a bad player. He's blatantly not. He's one of the best in the world. It's just they're not playing with the number 10. They got Ronnie up front, they got Mandzukic, they've got Douglas Costa, and then they're playing Sami Khedira and Pjanic.
That's insane to me that like
they're not playing with a 10. That's all it is. Yeah, they've decided that Khedira,
considering Diabala was so integral to the setup of attacks for so long, and like helping him get to where he's at now and boost his career, it's just it's bizarre to me, to be honest.
It's not to do with Diabala. It's to do with the fact that they just they're playing like there's no room for Cuadrado. They've made him play right back. Mm-hmm. You know, they've bought Cancelo. They bought Joao Cancelo to play at right back, but they've decided that Cuadrado is the way to go.
Yeah,
you know it's.
All right, okay, you must have saw the England game now. Did you see the England?
I saw some of it. I haven't seen all of it.
Did you see Luke Shaw getting knocked the heck out?
Yeah, Luke Shaw looked nasty.
Yeah,
I think that was like a Street Fighter move because he properly like caught this edge. So he's done by that and then he landed really awkwardly.
He sort of bounced
as well
off the ground, didn't he?
Yeah, so the initial boom reaction. Yeah. And then it was a nasty
move. I think most people feared the worst when he went down, and he's had such rotten luck.
Everyone's in the pro Luke Shaw camp.
Yeah, I think they're all willing for him to do well. He had a kind of a strange game, really. It was an amazing setup for the goal for Rashford.
He's a great assist.
He dived in a little bit, which foolishly for this equaliser, but overall he was fairly solid. But I mean, it's good to see that he's still in. He was given that opportunity by Southgate. Fingers crossed. You know, it doesn't look like it's anything too serious with the knock he had in the game, but it was pretty nasty looking.
Mm. Yeah.
But.
All right, cool. Have you got any thoughts on Mr. Harold Kane?
My thoughts on Harry Kane are the same as my thoughts really on the rest of the Spurs squad, in that I just think there's going to come a point where all of those games that they've played and the fact that the majority of their squad went to the World Cup, they had a very long season last year competing for different competitions. And I do think that eventually they're going to tire out.
Mm.
And I think it's going to be...
Why do you fear that? Like, it's just about luck. It depends on if they get injured.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think Man United had a really good season the first year we won it back from Chelsea. But we had a really small squad. And it worked well, but we got knocked out of the Champions League because we were exhausted. Spurs have got a lot of games, so they've already had four competitions that they were competing in last season.
Mm.
Most of their players then went to the World Cup. A lot of them then came back late because they got quite far. You know, think of the players that they've got. It's not just playing in the World Cup, it's playing late stages of the World Cup as well.
No rest at all.
No. So they've got Harry Kane, they've got all the England players that came back late. They've got a host of them. They came back really late. So now they're going straight into another season where they're competing on four fronts again.
And the thing is, you normally find...
With no additions to that squad.
What you normally find in that situation as well is for the start of the season, it has the opposite effect. They hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And then there is a period where they might pick up more niggles, injuries, and there's fatigue there as well. So It's shown in the fact that Spurs have actually started the season quite well.
So you think the Spurs wheels will fall off when?
After Christmas, it'll start. I just think Burnley, for example. Joe Hart said about when they got knocked out of the Europa, he said, after the game, he's really honest, and he just went, we were exhausted. Now, they didn't play at the World Cup, but they were so exhausted from playing week in, week out, and games in a tight schedule. That's going to happen with Spurs. But what you've got is a season of loads of games where you're playing Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. Then you're playing League Cup games. They had a few replays as well. So, and they haven't had a proper break.
Mm-hmm.
I think that eventually that will catch up on them. I really do.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll see.
Where are we moving on to next, Al?
I want to just discuss Wales really quickly because I think it's really great to see Gareth Bale, a fit Gareth Bale, and Aaron Ramsey all together, all in. Boom. Yeah. I think that's wonderful to see. And it was that energy. Like you saw that game when they beat Ireland. That was great. That was a great performance all around. It doesn't, like, they got whipped by Christian Eriksen, obviously, and that was 2-0.
2-0, but I think both those games are a real microcosm for exactly where Wales are at the moment.
Yeah,
they are definitely
so.
Working players. It progresses.
I think
it's people, yeah, if people, and I think people understand that and give Giggs the time. Mm. And I think they can see what he's trying to do, that it's going to be a real step change. But it just showed, it was kind of like the euphoria of the Ireland game,
yeah,
and then being brought back down to earth. And I think that just showed that when you've got a young side, you've got to be prepared to have some pain as well, because you're going to go through times where it's going to be, you know, they're going to be naive, they're going to make mistakes.
Mm.
And you just got to put it down for all the good that comes with the youthful exuberance and the energy that they had against Ireland. There is going to be the opposite sometimes. So it'll come with time. I hope Giggs is given the time to do that. Mm. I think he will be. Maybe that's optimistic, but I hope and I think he will be. But yeah, I think it was encouraging overall from Wales. I think
it was encouraging. It was encouraging.
But like you said, I think it's a fair.
My only issue with the Wales Denmark game was that I had actually, because I was so busy, I'd actually missed that Denmark had sorted out their issues.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I checked, and I didn't.
You
want, I was.
It was a
I was. Yeah. I was busy. I was just flat out for the last few days. I've been flat out. So I didn't know that it had been resolved, because I was like waiting for real football
so
to come back. So you know.
Over the.
So
Danish
I then
team.
Thought, yeah. It must be half time. I'll check in on the score. I was like, are they losing 1-0 to YouTube? How are Wales
milkman.
Losing?
You lost to a bunch of milkmen.
They're losing to my florist. How is this happening? Do you know what I mean? Like we all got called.
Well,
Denmark.
I was looking
have
to see if I had any. I was going to check the family tree for a moment there.
Imagine that though. If you're one of those players in lower leagues, just like I'm never going
to
get.
Well,
a
they
play
to get a, in the first in the friendly minute. In the week. Is it Slovakia or yeah?
So okay, a few more things that Italy got done. They got turned over 1-0 by an Andre. Got done by an Andre Silva goal. Which Andre Silva is a solid player anyway.
Andre Silva's had a great start to this season. You know, like he's the, you know, what was he, the only player to score on his debut in La Liga.
Yeah.
A hat trick on his debut. He's unbelievably good.
And then we've got, I don't know if we sent you this, but we were chuckling because we possibly picked up some Republic of Ireland gossip.
The Roy Keane. I saw this. He had a row with Harry Arter.
Harry
Arter,
don't touch my Harry Arter.
And John Walters.
I immediately.
Walters, because he's
yeah,
got
but then,
a severe knee.
Well, the interesting
knee
thing to come out of that for me was the fact that it was Stephen Ward who broke this and was leaked what had happened. And Martin O'Neill came out and saying, Stephen's a good lad, but he wasn't even there. So I don't know.
Well, actually, it was Stephen Ward's mates, but I was like, who's. Like some mates, you know, thanks very much. You're sharing it with his friends on WhatsApp or whatever it is.
That must be
like straight dagger into the back of him from his mates.
If I sent you something in confidence, would you expect?
Well, it depends what it is.
First slagging him off.
Exactly. Calling him a slug or something, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, I thought it was mildly amusing. Anyway. But this.
Whoa.
Beautiful set.
I did think of you immediately. I thought Skinner's going to be furious about it. Harry
Arter. Livid. Yeah, I know, exactly. But imagine. But I think by the sound of the audio, I think he handled that very well. Because
sounds like
if Roy come in all guns blazing to Harry Arter whilst he's having treatment, right?
Hmm.
And Harry was just like, "I'm not doing this right now."
Yeah.
I'm all right. It's like
Roy.
I'm having my leg rubbed.
Yeah. Honestly, don't interrupt the leg rub.
You're picking a fight here. I'm not gonna do anything. So it's just a case of like.
I know.
Yeah, and I think that's the best way of handling it. Because how else do you stop a raging?
I
Roy
don't
Keane?
Think you do.
You don't.
You leave
the only
it,
way
you
time. Send Ferguson in. He'll handle him.
So it's like a hurricane. You just have to wait for it to.
There's no way of doing it. There's no way of doing it.
It sounds like you've tried.
He kicked off and he got thrown out of Manchester United for it. That's how bad he is.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I've got, you know, it's Roy Keane in it. What do you expect?
No one's surprised by that. I love the fact that everyone's like, yeah, that's
going to
happen.
I won't be happy until Martin O'Neill has John Robertson as assistant again, because they deserve to be with each other.
Exactly.
So I've got a very loving place in my heart for John Robertson and Martin O'Neill, and they need to be together.
There needs to, because there's order. Do you think there just needs to be an element of chaos?
Yes.
So to make sure.
You know what it is?
Good cop, bad cop.
This Martin O'Neill, this is Clough not speaking of Peter Taylor.
Yeah.
This is what this is. Brian Clough was brilliant because every now and again Peter Taylor would be like, "All right,
right, yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah." It's Vince Russo being in charge of WCW without McMahon going, "Rein it in."
I know. There's no one to stop him running a marker.
So that's it. So you, mummy and daddy, basically good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. Yeah.
He needs John Robertson.
Like you think Johnny Bott is there. He's got his knee's really bad. He really wants to play for his country. Really wants to do that, but this is really stopping him. This is his last chance to stay in the set. And he just really wants to play. So. What are you doing? You've gone soft.
Yeah.
You've gone soft.
Like these pillows. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. They're nice.
Okay, two more things.
Two more
very quick things.
Go on then.
Mitrovic, in the form of his absolute life.
He is. He's having a blind.
Those goals.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. So,
second one was...
He's in a very, very purple patch.
Too purple.
But he's just a joy to watch, because I've never seen him play with so much confidence and dominance in his game than he has done. Although we've seen him play against Wales, and one of the goals came from Mitrovic as well.
Mm. Yeah.
In that way. So not surprised, because that's the quality that he's actually got. However... He's just in the form of his life right now, especially for Fulham, where he feels very comfortable as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The other thing, not to mention it, but like going back to Denmark for a brief second, where Lord Benton was arrested again, very briefly, just to say, because of the fact that he got arrested for chilling a taxi driver.
Did he?
I didn't see that. Lord Benton got in trouble.
Lord Benton. Oh my God.
Lord Benton in trouble. Shock.
Shock horror.
So yeah, that was that. Apart from that, we're going to go to France, because I think we all should.
They had a party, didn't they?
The French celebrations were some of the best things I've ever seen.
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And Titi was just the man.
That, he was brilliant.
That swag. That swagger. That walk.
Bit of a camp swag. I like it.
Yeah, it was.
Don't get me
it
wrong.
It was brilliant.
It was sort of
it was
like
incredible.
10 out of 10.
It wasn't even the strike. It was the when you got to the end. Yeah, that's what got me.
Someone did it.
Died.
They looked like they were having a good time, didn't they?
It looked like a hell of a celebration.
Like the only one who didn't look like he was having a good time and wanted to be anywhere but there was N'Golo Kante, who just looked.
No, but
as
that's
though,
the point of N'Golo Kante.
He just was
it?
Like, I don't want to do doing this.
Yeah,
like N'Golo Kante is just such a rarity to find, because you think he'd get to that level and he'd be like, okay, I'm pretty good. No.
Yeah.
With N'Golo, it was pure humbleness and ability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like he's just there to play, and he wants everyone else to take credit and the showmans of the game.
Yeah.
Like your Umtiti's, your Paul Pogba's and everything. And that's what the love is of N'Golo Kante. The love of N'Golo Kante is the purest in football in terms of excluding any ego or anything.
Yeah.
That's the point of
N'Golo. I get the feeling that if the referee didn't blow his whistle, that Kante would be playing for like 15 years, and they'd be like, no, you were supposed to stop.
He would just go.
You didn't hear the whistle.
He would just carry on.
Like,
he's an absolute
he just like
beast.
Let loose and just like, keep going
since,
and going.
Since that Leicester season, I thought, okay, well, he might have peaked. That might be a one-off.
Yeah.
To have Chelsea just to go in and like pay the fee.
Well, there was some ridiculous thing, wasn't there, when Chelsea won it when he signed for them, the Premier League, that he just had the most incredible like win-loss record in the Premiership. It was just like unreal.
He was brilliant. We said it at the time when they signed Drinkwater, if you remember, cast your mind back, but you and I said it when they signed Drinkwater, and everyone was like, that's ridiculous. And I was like, well, no, they're just hoping they need an English player, and they're hoping that because he was good with Kante, he'll be good with Kante again.
Yeah.
And that's what you get with N'Golo. You put him in. Someone asked on Twitter, you put N'Golo Kante in, and you just think, right, let's build a side around it.
Yeah,
he's that. He's the building block of any side. And
yeah. You know where he's going to be, that's it. Sort of changes way with Chelsea at the moment, but
throw him into a France team. I think N'Golo Kante is potentially going to be a Real Madrid or Barcelona player within 3 years.
How old is he?
Don't matter. The fact that, look, the age thing isn't as important anymore.
Mm. Okay, one more thing about France before we go to the next section.
Yeah.
Go on.
How vitally important has Olivier Giroud's goal been?
I still think he is a criminally underrated player.
Yeah.
Criminally underrated player. I mean, he
not just the goals, the type of goals that he scores, which come from nothing a lot of the time, like the one on the weekend, but also he's just, I think he just scored, his actual goal ratio is pretty damn good.
Why are they, right?
International level as well.
Do you think that Chelsea need to start him now? Ahead of Morata?
Look, I really rate Morata.
And I rate Morata, but I would start Giroud.
I would start Giroud just to try and bed Morata in, because it's been a season, he hasn't hit the peaks, and people are getting on his case now, which is dangerous. He's going to be one of those Di Maria sort of players which have the credentials and will be absolutely fire anywhere he goes. Yeah, but if that pressure builds, and in England it builds.
About his said his first season was a nightmare. This past week,
because otherwise he's going to go down that route. Someone's going to pick him up for a cheap. He's going
to
fire.
And then he'll do amazing elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I hope he just finds that cause. But like that's a great thing to have Giroud and Morata there. And there's a matter of time for Morata.
Well, we said before as well, didn't they? That you know, well, Morata is brilliant. There's no denying that Morata is brilliant. My issue that I don't know why they got rid of Batshuayi.
Well, that's only on loan. They haven't sold Batshuayi.
No, but they've second year in a row now that they've loaned him out.
Yeah, but I just think that. What would you do? Because you've got Giroud and you've got
Tammy Abraham.
Tammy's gone to.
He's gone to Villa, and he should, by all rights, tear that league a new one at Villa.
Yeah.
He's too good for the Championship. He's proved last year that he's a great Premier League goal scorer. And he did it at a rubbish side. He did it at a side that got relegated, but he scored goals and he's really good. So I think at Villa, he should realistically get 20.
What, for Tammy?
Yeah.
Not the way Villa are playing right now.
No, but...
I'll check in with the championship correspondent.
Right, should we...
Like, I don't think it's going to happen. Tammy is good to a level. Now we should be kicking on. I expected him after the season he had with Swansea to actually try and start a few games for his club. That's not going to happen because Chelsea aren't that type of team. We see it with Batshuayi. No matter how good they seem and how good a loan is, they're not prepared to give him a chance and throw him in. When was the last time Chelsea actually did that? They haven't.
No, they won't.
Well, they won't. And that's why the likes of Kevin De Bruyne.
You could.
That's why the likes of. It's that De Bruyne, isn't it?
Lukaku, Salah.
Yes. The list goes on. It goes on and on. So, I just don't think you will get that type. So, I think it's time for those people with potential like Batshuayi and Tammy Abraham to just try something new. Just try something new. Just go somewhere. Because you're just not going to get that opportunity at Chelsea. You're not. Yeah. When was the last time it happened? You're not. Think of those players. Well, it's probably a good thing or a bad thing. But those types of... The players who didn't flourish at Chelsea have just had a point to prove. And that's why you let players go in order to do so. So, I just think that's that.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. We've been rambling for too long about internationals.
We've been rambling too long.
We've got to move on.
Should we? Well, you know more about this La Liga
game. Right. The La Liga game has been announced.
Tell us a story.
That it was going to be Girona's home game against Barca January this season. Because before it was just one game. And it could have been any season... any team, it's been announced that they want to do the Girona home match against Barca. In Miami.
Oh, in the US. Okay, yeah.
It'll be in Miami.
Players ain't happy.
No, the players aren't happy. The players' union have got involved and they've basically said, look, it's up to the players. They'll make the final decision. But there's talk that there could potentially be a player strike. The only good thing to come out of this is that they've said, the La Liga have said that the Girona, that fans who travel will be subsidised for travel and accommodation. Girona have said that any season ticket holders that go, they will give them flights and accommodation. If you're a season ticket holder and you don't want to go to Miami, you'll get a ticket automatically given to you for the away game at the new camp. But it's not going to happen. Because Lionel Messi has said it won't. End of discussion. It doesn't matter if La Liga won it or Girona won it or the entire rest of the Barcelona squad won it. The very fact is Messi has said no.
Yeah.
So Messi will get what he wants.
So that won't go ahead then, do you think?
No, there's no way it will go ahead.
What if Messi's offered some kind of golden handshake to make it happen?
It would have to be a very, very golden handshake.
Very golden.
It would have to be the best golden handshake.
It'd have to be like more than a handshake. It'd have to be like a golden hug.
Yes.
And a golden embrace.
It'll be a golden embrace.
And then he'd say yes, and then they go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Can I jump to someone else who has got history in La Liga?
Go on.
Briefly. Diego Armando Maradona.
Yeah.
Who's he?
You heard the news?
No.
Right, he's taken over as manager.
Mexico, isn't he?
Dorades.
Uh-huh.
Which are based in Simeola, I believe. I can't remember the name. But basically, he's taken over as manager of a second-tier Mexican side that are based in the drug capital of Mexico.
There's a link there.
I don't understand how this could possibly go wrong.
That is amazing.
I don't know how this could go wrong.
You've got to love Maradona.
I can see what attracted him to the role.
Nothing could go wrong with that.
We all saw him when Argentina were playing in the World Cup, and we saw he got a little bit worse for wear. Mm. I think it's fair to say. Yeah? So he'd had a few too many tizers. And he couldn't put the Skittles away. That's the problem, all right? He got hepped up on E-numbers. But at no point do you think, has there been any point in your life where you've gone, I know he looks a bit like he should know better, but he's probably living his best life.
Yeah. He's having fun, isn't he?
Yeah, he's having a great time. He's having a grand old time. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone around him is. They're probably having a horrible time because they're watching him do it again. But Maradona, I think America, that video of him on the plane where he's like doing the shots, and then afterwards he's like, he's proper time. Like hyped up.
No,
and he's like, don't live your life. Diego.
Imagine the team talks on that side.
That man was so good. He won 2 Serie A titles with Napoli and the UEFA Cup. And he did it high. That's how good he was. He was better than the rest of the league, and that league had Platini in it.
Hmm.
And he's high as a kite the entire time.
I speak for all of us and say that. The FIFA Ramble absolutely salute Diego Maradona.
Yeah, why not?
For his services and what he's done.
Services to football.
I genuinely, though, if I could just shade it a bit grey, I genuinely, at this point, don't think Diego's going to be long for this world.
He's here for a good time, not a long time.
Yeah, he's not going to be.
That's it.
Give a clap. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's the decision you make, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Like, that is it. Like, you either go hard or you go.
Yeah,
you go home. You choose safe or you go off the rails.
He's definitely gone one of those ways.
Mm. Yeah,
that's for sure.
Oh, they're quite nice.
They're all right.
Okay, right. I've got. I'll just go to the green space because I want to check out some stuff. Because I'm multitasking a bit here, guys. To be honest with you.
No, it's some nice stuff. I like it.
But I got a killer question.
We need to wind it down though soon.
I got a few little things.
2 seconds. I've only got. Yeah.
Oh. That's nice. Okay, we'll just go by here. So, yeah. I got a question.
Oh, I like... Yeah. Go on then, what's your question?
All right, then. Who would you rather... My question to you guys is...
Yeah.
Who would you prefer, Neymar or Mbappe?
Mbappe.
Mbappe.
I prefer Mbappe.
You prefer Mbappe?
It's not that I rate him higher than Neymar. I prefer him as a player. I think I just like it watching him play. Can I throw a question back at you? Well, who do you prefer?
Right, for now, I think that Neymar puts in more of a shift, although Mbappe is more of a classier player. I'd probably go right now, I'd probably choose Neymar on my team over Mbappe.
Okay, So are you saying Neymar is the Christian Eriksen?
He's a hard worker.
And Mbappe is the Kane?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely, right
now.
My question where we are
then
right now.
To you, in regards to that, is do you feel sorry for Neymar because he left Barcelona to escape Messi's shadow and Mbappe turns up?
But I think stuff like
that. Now, he wanted to win the Ballon d'Or and he said, I've got a PSG because I need to be the biggest fish in that pond. And then they signed the best player at the World Cup.
But I think when you have a combination of those quality players, it's only going to spur you on. Like, it's done
it should
wonders.
Do, but it didn't, I don't know if it did before.
For like Cavani as well. Like, Cavani, like when Neymar turned up and Cavani's there, I was like, nah, mate, this is my territory.
Well, you know my feelings on Cavani.
That's exactly why I name dropped him.
I said, when way back when we were podcasting, when they signed Neymar, way back, and I said at the time, they will have the best front three in world football. And I genuinely think over a year later, I've been proven right.
Yeah.
Cavani, Mbappe and Neymar are the best front three in world football. There's no one close. And sorry, Liverpool fans, but pipe down, because you just, before you even say it, you're wrong.
So yeah, I don't see it as a bad thing. Like you said, if players want to go somewhere with these in place.
Can we, where are we jumping now? Can we jump to the Premier?
Yeah, of course. Just one more thing, it's about Richarlison making his debut for...
That's Leeds in, I like it.
Yeah, okay.
Do you want someone to say to me?
Because everyone was ripping him for what his aims were and his objectives were. No one should disrespect that, because if you're healthy and you've got the skills and you've got the mentality, why not aim big?
Yeah.
Why not aim big? And the fact that he scored his debut... On his debut.
Fair play to him.
Absolutely fair play.
No, he did really well.
Pulling it back into the Premier League.
Can I let you know a story about Richarlison?
Yeah.
Someone said to me, yeah, well, it's all well and good scoring the goals on your debut for Brazil, but it was only playing against El Salvador. And then I could score against El Salvador. I went, right, I'm going to stop you there. One, you couldn't. Yes, you couldn't. They're professional footballers. I don't care how many you can score on Sunday with your mates in a park. You're not a professional footballer, so shut up. On that count, I was like, and secondly, what do you mean? I was like, another reason you wouldn't be able to do it is because you're nowhere near good enough for Brazil. I'm willing to put money on. Wouldn't be selected.
There was a chap who phoned in.
You wouldn't get your chance.
He phoned into Five Live a few weeks ago and said that he could score 20 goals in the Premier League for Man City. And he was deadly serious.
Yeah.
If you've not heard the audio, go back and listen to it. He was, honestly, they had to argue and go, I think it was Kelly Cates saying, you just couldn't. But it was like one of those where, you know.
It's equivalent of someone turning up on X Factor thinking they're brilliant and they're tone deaf.
Yeah. Yeah. But on an extreme level. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay, two more things.
Yeah.
The first one is Zidane.
Okay.
Like, he's just waiting. He's just doing shopping with his wife at the moment.
Yeah.
Just pants.
Is he shopping with Ed Woodward's credit card though? That's the thing I want to know.
The shot I saw was him just waiting for his wife.
Just chilling.
He looked pretty grumpy. He looked rumbled.
We've all been there.
Well, yeah.
He's used to it.
Exactly.
He's used to that, being part of that Galactico side. He had to wait around a bit.
He's putting the feelers out because I think he's coming back into the game. Where he's going to go, Man United, who knows? I don't know where he's going to go, who knows?
It's a good club to get back into, if you're going to. He wants to get into the Prem.
Yeah, but he's above Man United.
It's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity for him, I think.
Would you take Zidane over Jose?
No, because I still think that Jose's being ridiculously undermined by the media and the press, and I don't actually think he's done that. I mean, they've only had a couple of games this season. Mm. It's ridiculous.
All right, then. If you want to, I was going to rotate back to Petr Cech and him being trusted at all between the sticks. Will he start?
Okay, right. Okay. Yes, Petr Cech will start.
Everyone's going to be on him when the ball comes
to his
feet.
Yes, Petr Cech will start. No, he shouldn't. There you go.
Emphatic.
He shouldn't start, but he will. But there's no way he should.
Meh.
Bernd Leno should start. The other interesting thing about this is, when are we going to start seeing Lichtsteiner? For me,
he'll be there. But you've got Arsenal fans, like a lot of them, saying like Bellerin should be out and Lichtsteiner should be in anyway. So I just think
I like Bellerin. I think he's a great player.
He
I really do.
To a standard, but he's shown glimpses of it. So I think they're going to stick by him, but. Lichtsteiner was only brought in to marshal the back and with a wealth of experience. He wasn't brought in for a starter. He was brought in as just collateral in terms of if he's needed, as well as leadership, as well as massive amount of experience. So on that basis, Bellerin is the starter. But Bellerin's the starter, but Lichtsteiner is just there when you need him to. And we don't see him. He's an influential player off the scene as well. That's why you bring someone else in. It wasn't just for purely like his skill and ability. He was brought in because of all the other stuff as well. I see him more of
a superb
Mertesacker sort of player,
yeah,
who's going to guide the youth, and you need that experience to bring the youth through. So in that position, if that's what Bellerin needs as well, I think that is a useful thing. So I think
that's
the reason why he was brought in.
Yeah, oh, he definitely needs
to. Should we look forward to the Premier League?
Yeah, let's look forward to the Premier League. Right, Spurs, Liverpool, who are we having? That kicks off. What a way to kick off this weekend.
Do you know what? I'm going for Spurs. And I know that might be a spot. I'm going to go for Spurs. I think they're going to win.
I think Liverpool haven't really kicked in yet.
No.
I think they're probably... What gear do you think they're in, if we're going on gears? I think getting to three.
They're definitely at three.
Yeah.
Just revving at three.
Let's just say...
They're revving.
They're like pushing for...
I think their clean sheets will stop for a bit.
Yeah.
It's a shame about that.
But I think Spurs are going to do them on the weekend.
I can see. Right, another game that... let's not do them all. Let's look at Chelsea-Cardiff. Can Cardiff get anything?
Not against my Sarri.
No.
Can Cardiff get anything...
No, you're not.
Probably
getting,
not.
You're not getting anything.
No,
I... Depends who starts up front for Chelsea.
Yeah, okay.
No, I don't think they will.
Okay. Can Fulham get anything at Man City?
Fulham?
No, I think they can.
I think they can.
They definitely can.
I think they can.
Yeah.
They're
definitely not going
to. But they're not going to go quietly either way.
Saying that, it's the same thing as Wolves, though. Like, you didn't expect a draw from Wolves, did you?
No, that wasn't expected.
The way, and we've talked about Mitrovic, we've also haven't spoken about the usefulness and agility of the Fulham midfield as well. Fulham midfield
is awesome. Well, you've got Seri and you've got Kearney.
And Schürrle's experience as well.
We all love a spike player, and Schürrle is that player.
But no one's taken more shots in the Premier League than Schürrle.
Schürrle's a one to watch for fantasy as well, boys.
The other thing is Newcastle showed that actually they nearly got something at City as well, and they haven't got anywhere near the firepower that Fulham have got, I don't think.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they can do it. I don't think they will, but I don't expect it to be a
Can Newcastle over. Get anything against Arsenal?
I think they could. I actually think Newcastle have been quite unlucky this season in a few of their performances. They were poor against Cardiff.
But I think they actually played well against City and Tottenham. I think they can get something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What's going on in Championship really quickly?
Yeah.
Give us a break, there are a couple of interesting fixtures this week. So I think the best one is probably Millwall v Leeds. I think that's going to be my fixture of the weekend.
Yeah.
I spoke a bit about Millwall recently when Swansea went there and turned them over, but they got a great home record. I actually think that would be a cool game. The evening game is Blackburn against Villa.
Yeah.
And Blackburn got a decent side, so that should be quite good. Brentford and Wigan. Wigan have started the season really well, so I think that'll be an interesting one. So I think, I mean, you know, starting to take shape, the table. I'm actually going to the Liberty Stadium this weekend for Swansea Forest.
Claudio Jakob make his... Has he made his debut?
Yeah. He hasn't made his debut yet. No, we got him in the break. I don't know if he will. Probably, I don't expect him to immediately. But who knows? So that should be interesting. I'll give you a report on what the...
let us know.
Could you do a facilities like a live? Live as
could
well?
You do it, could you do some lives?
I can certainly do some lives.
Send us some lives. Stay tuned then.
I can certainly do some lives, so stay tuned. But yeah, we'll let you know. But looking forward to the Championship being back.
Yeah, nice.
Lovely stuff.
Any other business before we...
One more bit of business. Can we end on any other business and some good news corner?
Yes, a good news corner. We've got to finish on some good news. I got no other business other than wanting to hear what good news corner is.
I would like some good news because
George Weah came back last night.
Came back from where?
Tuesday. Played for Liberia.
Did he?
Yes.
Actually,
he came,
not his
he
cousin.
Came out the international football. I'm not making this up.
President of Liberia. Who is George Weah?
George Weah, the president of Liberia.
And started
came out of retirement for international football in their friendly against Nigeria and played 60-odd minutes.
What?
And the same day, his son, and it escapes me now, but his son made his international debut as well. So they become the first father and son to play for two different nations on the same day.
Bloody hell.
George Weah, 52, I believe he is. He played, and it was...
He's the president of his country.
He's the president... And he's a legend, the only African player to win the Ballon d'Or.
Could you see Trump turn out for the United States? Is that the next?
I genuinely don't think Trump could do any worse than the squad already do.
And on that bombshell.
On that bombshell, we're going to wrap.
We're going to wrap it there. Thank you ever so much for watching.
Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening.
This is the FIFA Ramble TFR. This is number 52.
Oh, don't forget our sponsor. The cars.
Gary's Talking Cars.
Gary, okay.
So Gary's Talking Cars.
I'm Paul, and I said to my friend, wouldn't it be great if your car could talk to you? You know, tell you what's wrong with it if it's broken. So I spent all my money on making this happen. I went broke. My wife left me. I had some out of the hat some mad time. But then Gary said I could sell my car through him. Come on down to Gary's Car and upgrade your car so I could talk. It really, really works. Gary's Car, yeah!